All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Dr. Michael Rosen. And you know, Dr. Rosen, man, I'm fascinated with that history of what took place even before my time as a union person. I always tell people, even to this day, I'm a union man. Once a union man, always a union man. And I will never, ever be anything other than that, because you kind of realize that I know that my past life and the fact that we were able to live, when I tell people today the amount of money that we made 30, 40 years ago, mm-hmm. you talk about the Bucks Arena and the $15 an hour. Well,
$30 an hour.
Yeah, I mean, you just realize that all of that was timing. Right? Yeah. I mean, realize.
Yeah, I mean, I think if I talked about the period called the Great Compression, when inequality fell, remember, for the very wealthy, I mean, the top marginal tax rate was 91%. That means that on every dollar they made over roughly $2 million, 91 cents went to the federal government, they kept 9 cents. But that money was used to provide social benefits, to invest in public education, to invest in the interstate highway system, you know, all the kinds of infrastructure investments, all the kind of educational
parks.
Infrastructure investments, you know, that's what that money was used for. And of course, now, again, the Great Compression was a period when you had high levels of unionization. That meant and U.S. corporations were negotiating with unions. When you have high levels of unionization, it also means that people who are non-union employers are still going to be paid more because they are in competition with the unionized employers. A classic example was American Motors in Kenosha, where American Motors in Kenosha employed thousands of people. And other non-union employers in the area had to meet that wage or they would constantly be losing their employers to American Motors when it hired. Another factor that played a role was the existence of the Soviet Union, frankly. And the Soviet Union claimed to be a workers' paradise. It wasn't, but it claimed to be. And it was in a Cold War with the United States of America. Well, there was a social compact in the United States where business and labor were working together. Business essentially said, we're going to allow unions to exist to negotiate wages, benefits, and compensation, wages, benefits, and working conditions. We'll sometimes fight over it. We'll have strikes. We'll have negotiations. But we're going to work together for the good of the company and the good of the community. And part of the motivation for that on the corporate side was that if they went after the unions, it would feed the propaganda of the Soviet Union that the U.S. was anti-worker. And it would help the Soviet Union win the allegiance of people in other countries in Asia, Africa, and Latin America, which the United States was competing with them for that allegiance. And what we see is that there were a combination of factors beginning in the early 1970s, that is declining profits, a decision by corporate America to go after labor, the lessening of the Cold War, and then finally the total collapse of the Soviet Union. And all of those factors combined to allow an all-out assault on labor. We saw that in this community beginning in 1974 when the meat packers, the meat cutters right. in the valley and elsewhere went on strike. And really for the first time in the history of Milwaukee, that is modern post-World War II history, I should say, scabs were brought in to break the union.
Right.
There was, you know, and they were successful. By 1975, the union was decertified, and a new model of labor relations had been established in this community.
Let's bring Dave on quickly. Dave, quickly.
Oh, I don't know if I can do it quickly. I just want to say I appreciate this discussion about the importance of unions. And I've had the experience of working in non-union shops in a factory and one union shop at the end of my career. And the difference is night and day. And I think that there's not enough emphasis placed when talking about unions. It's not just the better wages. It's the job security and the way you're treated on the job. The non-union shops have temp services on speed dial. And if you happen to have a despotic supervisor or a supervisor you don't get along with, they will just fire you for nothing and get another temp in to replace you. In a union shop, that can't happen. Most union contracts have have three strikes protection, and you have your union steward. You know, they can't make things up.
Right, progressive discipline.
You know, reasons to fire you. Let me give you briefly one experience I had. This was in a non-union shop. I merely asked about why the company wasn't using a safety device, a ventilation system for a very toxic producing operation. 3 days later, I was fired. They told me they didn't like my performance. That would never happen in a union shop. So I think more emphasis should be placed on those kinds of benefits of being in a union shop.
Yeah, Dave, I think it's Dave, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Earlier I had mentioned that what we called back in the 30s, they called it industrial democracy. That is giving workers a voice on the job. Unions give right. workers a voice on the job. They allow them to speak out about unhealthy working conditions. And we know very well that in throughout U.S. history and industry, employers have been very negligent in terms of the chemicals people use or other working conditions that they provide because they want to cut costs to increase profits.
And I've experienced that firsthand.
Yeah. And the fact of the matter is that, you know, that is philosophically or morally reprehensible, but morality is not enough to convince employers who are cutting corners to do the right thing. What you need is some countervailing power, and the unions provide that countervailing power.
So, Dave, I want to thank you, man. We're going to have Dr. Michael Rosen in every other Tuesday morning, man. So we'll continue to have discussions.